in order to write this book, you really had to draw evidence from a variety of domains. And so we've touched on, you know, a bit of medical evidence, a bit of nutritional evidence, a bit of environmental evidence. And, I mean, you really had to collect quite a lot of clinical evidence as well as scientific thinking into your book. And so now, obviously, you know, you present it as almost a compendium of scientific evidence as well as experience that led you in this general direction. But do you think you could identify maybe one or two little factoids or items that for you really made it click, like really gave you the aha moment? I mean, perhaps soy was one of them, but are there others that really just made you go, oh, wow, knowing this has just cracked my universe?
Yeah, Malcolm Kendricks is a doctor, and he's in England, or maybe he's in Scotland, one or the other, and he has this great book that's called The Great Cholesterol Con, which walks you through all the evidence about cholesterol, that there is no link between dietary cholesterol and heart disease. There is no link between even dietary cholesterol and blood cholesterol in people. And he had a great YouTube video where he takes all this information from the World Health Organization. They did a study that was called MONICA. That's the acronym for it, but it was the Monitoring Trends in Cardiovascular Health. This was the biggest study ever done in the world about cholesterol. And so they compiled all this data from like 40 different countries about levels of dietary cholesterol intake and then what is the heart disease rate for these people. And there is literally no connection. So in under a minute and a half, you know, like in about 90 seconds, Malcolm Kendricks shows you this graph. And here are the Aboriginal Australian Aborigines who have the highest heart disease rate in the world, yet their dietary intake of cholesterol is like less than 20 times that of France or Greece. And then you can go to the other end of the graph and you see countries that have really high cholesterol levels and yet almost no heart disease. And so there it is in black and white. Like, it's just, there is no connection. And all those years, you know, that was what got me into this on a dietary level, was hearing that in my health class in, you know, 10th grade, that, oh my God, if you eat saturated fat, you're going to die of a heart attack. Looking at my familial history, seeing that people had a tendency to these diseases, and thinking, oh my God, I've got to get this out of my diet. And, you know, 20 years later, I see this graph, and it was all crap. It was made up information. You know, and all the reasons that, you know, we can talk about big pharma and, you know, the Lipitor and all the statin drugs. And yes, there are huge industries behind this. They want us to believe these myths because they will make money. And I know that sounds like a conspiracy theory, but I don't think there's like 10 people doing this, but, you know, it is how capitalism works, and it is how things are set up in the United States. And, you know, we need to question the powers that be. They do not have our best interests at heart. What they have, you know, their reason for existing is to make money for their stockholders, and they'll do what it takes to do that. I mean, we set up a a sociopathic system, essentially, where this really bad behavior gets rewarded by money. So it's not really about our health. It is about a whole bunch of other very moneyed interests. But, you know, seeing graphs like that where it makes it so obvious that this has nothing to do with what makes people healthy. So Malcolm Kendricks certainly, you know, it was a big moment for me. Reading the soy information also were big moments for me because, you know, I'd already been living in pain for many, many years with my spine. And seeing that, you know, soy had this terrible impact on cartilage in people, you know, and people's joints, I realized what I had done to myself. And I would say the third moment was actually reading Weston Price's book, which is called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. Now, this is not a book that's meant for, you know, a wide public audience. It's kind of boring. It's long. It was written in, you know, I think the early 40s or the late 30s. But it is a book well worth at least flipping through for the photographs. And it was the photographs that got me. Because what he did was he found a bunch of people all over the world, Europe, Asia, Africa. He went to every continent and he found people, even at that point in the 1930s, you could still find groups of people who were not eating industrial food. A lot of them were still hunter-gatherers, they were fishing people, and he wanted to find people who achieved perfect health in generation after generation. And he had a, you know, pretty tightly defined version of what that would mean. No chronic diseases, perfect dentition, easy childbirth, no mental illnesses, and that they could achieve this, you know, sort of long-term over many generations. So he went and he visited some of these people, and it was a great moment to do this because not only were there still some people who hadn't been influenced by either, you know, imperialism or modern foods of some kind, the camera was actually a portable instrument at that point. So it meant that he could take photographs. So you see the physical, the pictures of these people, and you've got the parents who have the most beautiful teeth and bones you've ever seen in your life, just perfect, perfect, you know, pearl, row of pearls teeth, they call them, where you've just never seen such gorgeous smiles. And then the children. So you've got the next generation. Modern foods have been introduced. They're eating nothing but white flour and white sugar and vegetable oil, and the kids are a mess. Their teeth don't fit. Their noses are too narrow. You can see that the, you know, the template has been broken. And so seeing picture after picture that this is what happens to human beings when they're not eating the foods that we were meant for, that was a profound moment for me, because I'm looking at these pictures going, wow, those people don't have degenerating spines, and I do. And that's what they ate, and this is what I ate. And it was so clear what had happened to me. So I would say, you know, the Weston Price stuff was, those people saved my life. I mean, it was, that was amazing. That was an incredible moment. And I would say, even if you don't want to read the book, just look at the photographs. You've got to be convinced that, you know, there is a human template, and we are meant to eat really nutrient-dense foods. And by eating, you know, this kind of high-carb, low-fat diet, we're doing exactly the opposite. And you will see what you've done to yourself. You know, if you've been doing this long-term, you know what I'm talking about. And the evidence is right there in the pictures. So I would say those are three good moments for me, mm-hmm. Malcolm Kendrick, Soy, and Weston Price.
Mm-hmm.